All right, we're grateful to have the Walkers again with us and all that they did and to help us with this day. And a tremendous message this morning. A lot of people coming down, trusting Christ as Savior. And that was exciting to see. And so we're going to turn the service over to him. Let's give them a warm welcome as a way of thank you for what they've done.
All right. Well, what a joy it was to be a part of this special day today. My goodness, I love it when you get to be a part of a church that's on the go with the gospel. Amen? And that's the business of the church, is getting people saved. Thank the Lord. You got to keep the main thing the main thing. And God will take care of churches that are on the go with the gospel. Take your Bibles, if you would, this evening. And look over anywhere, because it's all good. We're going to look over at John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse number 25. John chapter 8, verse number 25. When you find your places, you can say amen right there. All right, let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God, John chapter 8, verse 25. Let me reiterate and say thank you for your help and hard work with setting things up, tearing things down. Thank you, thank you. What a blessing. Great crowd today, great spirit. And it was always, I never get tired of seeing folks come forward to get saved. Amen. Never get tired of that. And what a blessing. And so thank you for that and all your help and hard work and rounding up folks. And we're going to be heading out tonight and here after the service, going to be driving over to Hemet, pick up one of our rigs that's over there, and then we'll be headed back to the ranch in Missouri, and then we'll be headed on down the road after that, be home for the holidays for a little bit. And then we, during Christmas time, we run up to Brother Brown's. Joe Brown, he was here the other day, wasn't he? Yeah, Brother Brown, he's a dear friend. We've been going up there helping them with their live animal Christmas show. Man, they do quite a, it's one of their biggest deals for an evangelistic outreach. They'll have over 5,000 visitors come through their church. Over 500 folks will get saved. And of course, Loretta and I are Mr. and Mrs. Santa Claus. I'm a Christian Santa Claus. I pass out gospel tracts, candy cane tracts that I wrote and put together with the candy cane tape to it. And we pass those out and point them to Jesus. Amen. Preach with Champ and Dixie. And oh, man, we have a good time. But boy, it's amazing what they do in that little church to see people get saved. Got angels coming out of the ceiling and snow and fog, and they bring in all kind of lights and camel coming down the aisle with a wise man and chariots, and it's just, but they give it their all. Why? Because they're trying to get some people saved, amen? And so thank you for you giving it your all to help people get saved. John chapter 8, verse 25. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto him, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world of those things which I have heard of him. And they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto him, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that hath sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Wow, what a testimony. I'd hope that could be said about you. I always do what pleases the Father. Boy, that'll keep you in check, won't it? Huh? And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the decisions made today in meeting with us. Thank you for a church that's got a vision for the lost. Now, I pray you'd bless tonight, speak to our hearts and challenge us. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. You all can be seated. I almost forgot to introduce some special visitors that we have. We've got Brother Clyde and Michelle Deskin from Wildomar. They go to Faith Baptist Church, and they came out here to help us out today with the Cowboy Carnival with Tear Down. And boy, they're such a blessing and such an encouragement to us, very special, dear friends. And Brother Clyde, you and Michelle, can you kind of wave at us so they know who you are? Okay, there you go. Those are really good people. And you stop by and shake their hands. And then we got Justin and Elizabeth Rarick. And why don't y'all stand up for me? I flew them out here from Missouri. They're my neighbors, and he's the youth pastor that works for Brother Joel Grandy there at Faith Baptist Church in Stockton, Missouri. And so he's AWOL this weekend, but anyway, thank you, Brother Justin. You can be seated. Appreciate him and his wife, and they play instruments and sing, and we sing together whenever we're home, and they are wonderful folks, and they're helping us make our trip back to the ranch. And came out here to help us. Their first time in California, and they have enjoyed it. And Brother Ross took them to In-N-Out, so they experienced the In-N-Out scene. And so they're getting the treatment, the royal treatment. So thank you for being kind to them. And what a blessing it is to have them here with us and helping us. I'd like to preach to you here for just a few moments tonight on three brands of the believer. This is Roundup Sunday. So we got to draw it together here with the cowboy message about the brands. This here is my brand, the brand of the cross. And I've branded my mechanical bull with it through the years. And he bears the marks. And boy, branding is always a fun time. And back home there at the ranch, Brother Riley Olson still brands cattle the old-fashioned way. And what a thrill it is to have a part in that whenever that I'm home and get a chance to do it. But Brandon in the Old West was quite an event. And as they would gather up the cows and the new calves that were born that spring, they'd cut them out. And the catch hand would throw a rope and catch one of those calves, drag it over to the Brandon fire, and the flanker would grab that calf, run down the rope, grab him, and throw him on the ground, put his knee on his neck, because if he don't have his neck, he can't get up and can't move. See, I don't know if you noticed when I had Champ up here laying down, I had my hand on his neck in case he wanted to get up to it. He couldn't. If I got pressure, and so they put their knee on that neck, and he's not going to be able to get up. And they take a piece of pigging string and tie up the legs if it was just one man. And then the brander would get the branding iron out of the hot fire, and he'd come over and he'd brand him on the hip or on the shoulder, wherever their brand is registered to be located. And that'd be a permanent mark in his hide that could not be erased. It could not be removed, okay? It was permanent. All right, there's brands. Thank the Lord when we get branded for the Lord, it's a done deal, amen? Can't be taken away. It's eternal transaction, it's done. And so the word disciple and Christian is synonymous here, and we see as we're reading this, he says, now by this, shall all men, in verse number 31, let me get turned over to the right page here, John chapter 8, verse 31, and he says, and Jesus said unto those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. One of the brands of the believer, the first one tonight, is the fact that you're going to have a deep love for the word of God. A deep love for the word of God is the first brand. He says, if you love me, he says, you're going to keep my commandments. He says, right there, he says, everybody's going to know that you're one of mine if you continue in the word, okay? That means to follow on in obedience. And what you do with the Bible will determine what God does with you, amen? Psalms 119:97, oh, how. We sing that song, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. We sing that song, and boy, that's one of the brands of the believer. You're going to continue in the book. You're going to love the book. You're going to read the book. You're going to make much of the book. Man, this book, which we call the Bible, contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, and the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. Its decisions are immutable. We ought to read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, full food to support you, and a comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here, paradise is restored. Heaven is open and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject. Our good is its design. The glory of God. Boy, thank the Lord for the Bible. It ought to fill the memory. It ought to rule the heart. It ought to guide the feet. It's a mine of wealth. It's a paradise of glory, a river of pleasure. It's given in life. It'll be open to judgment. It'll be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibilities. It rewards the greatest labors. It condemns all who trifle with its contents. It's the word of the living God, and it is indestructible, incorruptible, indispensable, infallible, inexhaustible. The subject of the Bible, that's easy, redemption. Purposed and planned by the Father, accomplished by the Son, revealed by the Spirit. The message is salvation by grace through faith. God thought it. Christ wrought it. The Holy Spirit brought it. The devil fought it, but I got it. Amen. 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 Thank the Lord for the book, the Bible. That's one of the brands of the believer. But they love it, they believe it, they cherish it, they make a big deal of the Word of God. Amen. And we ought to. We ought to make the Bible a priority in our lives. That's for sure. Man, you ought to have such a love for Jesus and His Word that you say, Lord, whatever you say, I'll do it. Whatever, if it'll make you happy, if it'll please you, that's what I'll do. He's kind of like Brother Ross. You know, when he was a young Christian, he decided he's going to open up the Bible. He loved the Bible. I know he don't act like it, but he does. He loves the Bible. And is Brother Ross in here or is he out smoking? He's out smoking? That's what I was afraid of. I don't know. Oh, there is that. Oh, there he is back there. Okay, good. So he was sleeping. That's what he was. But he was reading. He said, I'm going to just open up the Bible and whatever. I'm going to point to a verse and whatever it says, that's what I'm going to do. Well, he opens it up, he looks in there, and he points to a verse, and he reads it. It says, Judas went out and hanged himself. Well, okay, let me just move on here. And he moved on, he picked another page, and he pointed to a verse, and he looked down, and he says, go and do thou likewise. He thought, oh, man. He thought, oh, let me try this again. He flipped over a few pages, pointed to another verse. He went down, and it says, what thou doest, doest quickly. But he learned right quick, that's not the way you read the Bible, amen? That's not how you do things. Hey, but you know what? When you get to the point in your life where you love the book, standards will be a delight and not a duty. You know that? I just want to make the Lord happy. I want to please Him. And if so, that changes a lot of things. That's a brand of the believer. Look at the second one in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, we'll see another brand. Number one, a deep love for the Word of God. Number two, John chapter 13 and verse number 34. I think it's still in here. Let me see. John 13. There it is. A new commandment I give unto you that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. The second brand of the believer is we'll have a love for the brethren. We'll love each other. First brand, there's a love for the book. And you'll never have a love for the brethren if you don't have a love for the book. And the second is the love for each other, okay? You won't love other Christians until you first love God's word. Now, the Bible says over in Romans in chapter number 13 in verse number 8, he says, owe to no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Oh, yeah. That's the brand of the believer. They have a love for the brethren. Have a heart, and it's evidenced by somebody's in need. I remember it had been 2 years ago, Loretta, when the motor went out on the bus, wasn't it? Wasn't last year's, year before, right? 2 years. 2 years ago. Bus was smoking and took it to the shop and they tore into it. And they said, man, you've got catastrophic engine failure. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Are you serious? This bus ain't got that many miles on it. Catastrophic engine failure. Man, I said, and they said, you're going to have a new motor, okay? This thing, man, if we tried to rebuild it, trying to find the parts is going to be super hard. And he says, and there's no guarantee. It might take us 6 months, kind of the aftermath of the COVID nonsense. And they said, it's going to take 6 months. And I said, man, I got meetings booked. We got places we got to go. There's churches and ministries counting on us to get there. And I'm like, what? And so what are my options? Because I didn't want to take a chance of maybe the parts would come in, maybe they wouldn't. We don't know. And I said, well, what's the? And they said, well, there's a remanufactured motor on a crate. They said, there's two of them in the United States. And you can have that one motor, and I think it was like $38,000. And I'm thinking, wow, 30. But he says, you get that motor, it's already put together. You guaranteed we'll be able to swap it out, and we'll be able to get it in the bus. And I'm thinking, Lord, I don't have no $38,000, but then that's just the motor. By the time the dust settled, it was $52,000. To get that motor out of that bus, put a new one in it. And I'm thinking, Lord, what are we going to do? It's our transportation. It's our home. And so we just started praying and called up our supporting churches. And I said, hey, we got a need. I need you to pray. And they said, what do you need? I told them. They said, Ranger Walker, we got to help keep you on the road. And so we're going to give you a love offering. And within 4 days, there was, I forget how many individuals. Larry, do you remember? Was it like 50? Over 50 individuals, churches, people found out about the need and said, we want to help you stay on the road. And they gave, and $52,000 came in. Woo-hoo, wow, praise the Lord. Hey, you know what that was? Those people loved me. They showed their love by giving, saying, we got to keep you on the road. We believe in what you're doing. And boy, there's what a great show of love for somebody to say, hey, we're going to invest in you. We're going to get behind you. We're going to fund you. Boy, you know what they're saying? We're endorsing you. We love you. Boy, you know what? What a blessing. What a blessing to have so that many friends that would be able to give and sacrifice. And some gave $500, some gave $100, some gave thousands. And the need was met. And when it was, we didn't even have to cancel a meeting. I mean, it came close. I pulled into our first meeting was down in Dothan, Alabama. And I pulled in there and we were gonna have a Roundup revival and close it out with a big day. And we were supposed to set up on Saturday at 4 o'clock. And I pulled in there into the church parking lot at 4 o'clock Saturday. I mean, it was down to the wire. I mean, it was just like, are you kidding me? But because people gave, they showed their love, and the need was met. Oh, man, that's some of the brands of the believer, is they love one another. They love seeing people get saved. They love, and they'll jump out and help you to know that you've got, see, that's what's so important and good about having a church, a home church, to know you got this family of people that love you and care about you, and they're going to be there for you, that means a lot. That's what you need. You need somebody to love you. Huh? That's what this world needs, somebody to care. That's one of the brands of the believer. Let me give you the next one here. And the last one is in John chapter 15 and verse number 4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth the branches, withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified. You want to make the Lord look good? That you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples, the brands of the believer. He says, everybody's going to know you're one of mine. You're going to have the brand of continuing in the book, loving the Bible. You're going to have the brand of loving other people and doing what you can within your power to help them and to be a blessing to them and to love them. And you're going to be bearing fruit. You're going to be telling people about Jesus. You're going to be getting people to heaven, because nothing gets heaven more excited than when somebody gets saved. Oh, man, that's the greatest thing that you can ever do, is take somebody to heaven with you. Huh? Man, and so use these programs. Use these special events. Use it. You got, one more Sunday? And so use it as a tool to get people to come and to hear the gospel. And to get saved. The Bible says in James chapter 2, faith without works is dead. Oh, I tell you what, I don't want to be dead. Lord, deliver me from deadheads, ding-dongs, and ding-bats. Man, I deliver me from dead, dry, dusty churches. First church of the refrigerator, Mr. Freeze himself is behind the pulpit, and the morticians skate down the aisle as the funeral director plays the offering music, and they pass the offering plate, and everybody bids farewell to their dearly beloved dollars, and it's like a mortuary. It's like a funeral home. It's dusty and dry, and there's no inspiration. Lord, deliver me from those kind of places. I want to come to be a part of a church that there's something going on. Amen. Man, they're alive and well. Man, I like to go to a church. Buddy, I tell you what now, we've been out here on our West Coast tour. We were with Brother Silva. He had 908 people, had 326 saved. We were with Brother Collins there in Lompoc, and he had 350, 32 saved. We were with Isaac Davis up there at Oxford, and he had 260 folks and 25 saved, 100-plus visitors. We were with Brother Stephen Becker, and he had 565 with 54 saved, and Mark Becker had 695 with 72 saved, and Brother Kerry Brown had 400-plus and had 46 saved, and John Paisley up in Washington, Iowa, he had 500-plus, and we had 42 saved, and I could keep going on and on. Amen. Of the churches that are just on the go, getting people saved, bearing fruit. Man, over 40, let's see, it'd be over 4,785 people have heard the gospel on our West Coast tour out here. And we've had about 703 people get saved. And that's not including here. Man, I tell you what, those churches that are bearing fruit and they're making an impact and they're touching lives. Oh, man, that's the brand of the believer. That's how you're going to know. That's how you know if they love Jesus. If you love me, keep my commandments. No other battle in the Civil War would result in the casualties and losses as the Battle of Stones River near Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Death would come to 1,677 on the Union side and 1,294 on the Confederate side. As the Union forces seized control of this January day in 1863, one voice could be heard through the dark, smoke-filled air. The man's name would be familiar to all of you, for he would become one of the greatest evangelists that the world has ever seen, Dwight L. Moody. During the heat of the battle, Moody would run in and out of the explosions, and he would seek out a wounded soul that was desperate for help. Over the gruesome noise of the 19th century warfare, each soldier would hear the same battle cry from the lips of Moody, "Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian?" And as they lay there dying, he would win them to Jesus Christ. And he went from soldier to soldier. Didn't matter what side they were on. He was just trying to round up some souls for the Savior. Yeah, that's a brand of the believer. Huh? The thief cometh not but to steal and kill and destroy. John 10:10 says, Satan, he's waged a war against mankind ever since he fell from heaven. And the death toll from sin mounts as Satan's war against Christ and the gospel intensifies. Every day we meet the wounded who are perishing without hope. The Bible says, wherefore in time past you walked according to the spirit of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, that at that time ye were without Christ, having no hope and without God in the world. Ephesians chapter 2. There's a lot of people that have no hope. Those dying soldiers on the battlefield had no hope. That's why D.L. Moody was running around. Are you a Christian? Do you know Jesus? And he was winning them to the Lord as they breathed their final breaths out on the battlefield. We, like the apostles in Acts and D.L. Moody in the Civil War, ask God for boldness to proclaim God's message of hope to a lost and dying world. Then when the cannons of life are stilled and the weapons are laid to eternal rest, may it not be said of our generation, I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Psalms 142, verse 4. May we boldly speak and seek out the perishing, proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ. God help us to do it. He's given us another reprieve. I tell you what, may we do everything we can to try to keep somebody out of hell. That's the brand of the believer. They're going to make a mark. They're going to make a difference. They just can't help but talk about Jesus. They just can't. They called her Granny, and she was a southern girl down in Tennessee, and she went to the church in North Carolina, sorry. And Granny wore dresses down to the ground and sleeves down to her wrist, up to her neck, old-fashioned lady, wore hair in a bun. Half the time she carried a big old Bible. She went into the grocery store, and in came the Budweiser man. And she hated liquor and what it did to her family. And she walked up to him and gave him a tract. Said, here's, mister, I want you to read this. I want you to know you're going to heaven. And by the way, I'm going to pray that you lose your job. And they just walked out the door. Well, you know, when people get old, they think they can say what they want to say. And so she just said it. And it shook him up. And he had respect for her, and so he did not wad it up and cuss at her or nothing. He stuck it in his pocket. And the whole day, it was working on him. And he got back to the Budweiser plant, and he got out of his truck, and he walked by the manager's office, and he called him in. And he said, Red, he's a big old burly red-headed freckle-faced guy. He said, Red, you're fired. Get your stuff and leave. Don't even come back tomorrow. He was in shock. He couldn't believe it. He's thinking, Granny gives me a track, prays for me to lose my job. I come in and they fire me. Well, that rocked his world. It shook him up. He read that track and he was under conviction of the Holy Ghost of God. And he decided, I'm going to go to this church and check it out. And he went to church. And the preacher, Brother Charles, was preaching that Sunday morning. And Red couldn't wait to the invitation. He was under such conviction, he thought he would die and go straight to hell right then and there. He just jumped up out of his seat, ran down to the front. He says, I need to get saved. And man, they met him down there and won him to the Lord. He got saved. And man, when Red got saved, he got a good old-fashioned dose. I mean, from the top of his head to the tips of his toes, he got saved. And he changed dramatically. And he called, I mean, he paid tribute. He says, it was Granny. Granny gave me the track, told me she's going to pray for me to lose my job. And I did. And that's what brought me to Jesus. Shook my world. And I knew I needed something. He goes back to the Budweiser plant. They call him up. He calls them up, and he says, I want to come in and meet you, and I want to say something to you. Well, the manager there thought he's coming in for a fight. He's been stewing on this because that's probably why he got fired, because he was just all the time fighting with everybody, and he was a pain, and they just said, let's get rid of this guy. He stirs up a lot of trouble, and so they were braced for a fight. The manager got two of the biggest, burliest men off of the floor and pulled them into his office, and they were standing on either side of his desk. And they were ready to dial 911. They were braced for the fight because they knew Red was going to come in cussing and fussing. And Red came in, but he didn't come in cussing and fussing. He came in under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. He came in. And whenever he walked in the doors, everybody stopped because they wanted to watch it. They wanted to watch the fight. They just knew he was going to reach in there and grab that manager and just pound his head. But he didn't do that because he's saved now. God did a work in his heart and cleaned him up. He went in there. He reached out his hand and says, I want to apologize to you. He said, I know I've been vile, rude, mean, cussing and fighting. And I don't want my job back. He said, but I want you to forgive me. Well, that's the mark of the brethren. Amen. They'll make wrongs right. That's right. And they'll seek forgiveness. And he said, I want you to forgive me. And he stood up and he shook his hand reluctantly and said, Red, what happened to you? He said, I got saved. That's what happened. And he witnessed to him and told him what happened. They shook their head and said, We don't even recognize you. You're such a different person. See, it takes the power of God to change a life. Oh, yeah. And I'm thinking, that granny had no idea how God was going to use her to see that soul saved. And God will use you. You just got to care enough to pass out a track. You got to care enough to give somebody an invitation. I don't know if I would give them a track and tell them you're praying for them to lose their job. But if the Holy Spirit tells you to do it, go for it, because you can't go wrong when you're following the leading of the Lord. Amen. Amen. On behalf of the folks that got saved this weekend, may we say thank you. Amen. They're going to meet you in heaven. Amen. They're going to say thank you for giving. Thank you for running that bus route. Thank you for knocking on our door. Thank you for passing out the flyers. Do you see all those people that came forward here Sunday morning? So you all invited them. You all got them to come. I just had a little bitty part, but boy, what a thrill it was to see that. And they're going to, and I don't know if they'll come back here or not. You don't know, but I know this. You'll get to see them in heaven. Oh, what a blessing that'll be. The brands of the believer. Hey, don't let up. Don't stop. You'll be glad that you did. And they'll meet you in heaven and say thank you. And you won't regret that. That's something you can take with you. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight, Lord, you'd help us to be faithful. Help us, dear Lord, to bear in our body these brands. And Lord, you would help us. Lead us to those that are nearest hell. Lead us to those that are searching and need a Savior. Give us boldness and courage. And I pray that you'd help us to reach everybody we can with what time we have left. And Lord, we'd like to take a moment tonight and gather around this old-fashioned altar and thank you for what you did. Thank you for the great day we've had today. And I pray that you would be honored and glorified in it. In just a moment, we'll stand together. And in just a moment, the invitation will be given. And you feel free to come down here, gather around this altar, take a few moments and just thank the Lord. Maybe there's something heavy on your heart. Maybe you got a need. Maybe you don't know that you're going to heaven, and you're uncertain of your eternal destiny, oh, we'd love to take the Bible and show you how you could know, and you could leave your seat and make that decision just like Red did. Greatest decision of his life when he decided to accept Christ as his Savior. If that's you, you obey the Lord. Let's all stand together as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, bless this invitation now. I pray you'd strengthen the church. I pray, dear God, you'd give us boldness and courage, and we would bear fruit for you. We ask this in your precious name. As the piano continues to play, God has spoken to your heart. You slip out and come. You obey the Lord tonight. If you're here tonight and you don't know you're going to heaven, you come. You're here tonight and you've never yet been baptized. After salvation, the first step is to be baptized. Oh, it shows Jesus that you love him. It's a picture of the gospel. It illustrates the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And you can identify with him in that fashion. Oh, if you need to be baptized, you come. We'd love to talk to you and help you. You're looking for a church to join up with. Well, this is a great church to be a part of because they got something going on around here. You obey the Lord. Pastor Myers, I'll turn the service over to you.